underdog is howling.
The Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast is back for another season of college football.
If having a couple of dollars on a college football game is your thing, then check out our podcast. Every week, we'll preview the upcoming slate of college football games all over the country.
We'll let you know what favorites to hammer and who to avoid, players to watch out for, and everything else you need to know.
It's Stanford Steve and the Bear. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Crane. I'm calling about today's appointment. The tree is scheduled to fall on your RV at 2:14 today.
Any way we can reschedule? We're really enjoying our trip.
Oh, I'm sorry, but that's our only opening.
Can it just be a little tree?
Let me check. No, sorry, our file says it's a huge one.
RV owners can't schedule when things go wrong on the road. That's why there's Progressive, a leader in RV insurance.
Is it 2:14 p.m. or a.m.?
You know, I'm not sure. Can I put you on a brief hold?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Max Kellerman.
I think Joe Burrow's done a terrific job since his time as a starting quarterback. He's young. He's learning. He has a little bit of experience, but not enough experience to win that division. Ja'Marr Chase was the right pick for them and what they want to do in the passing game. The only problem that I have is, can you keep Joe Burrow upright and not on his back throwing the football to a guy that they targeted the entire time?
Yeah, protection is key, but I also think that the mental reassurance after seeing Joe Burrow get hit a couple of times, after seeing him make some people miss, I don't think everyday people who haven't gone through injury understand how dynamic that can make you feel when you start to trust your body again. There's a certain level, like when you get hurt, like you don't trust yourself at the same level, but when you start doing things like that, you start to believe in your own ability, and that can unleash different opportunities.
GJ and Max, followed by Greeny, mornings on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports, the GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Joe.
Up and running, hour number three. Lee Sterling, 215. Chip Patterson, 230. We'll take a look at college football here as well. 800-998-1003. You'd like to talk about the Pels 117-97 loss at Philadelphia yesterday. We'll hear from Willie Green quickly and a couple of other tidbits. I also want to get to some Sean Payton. He spoke this morning. Saints back at the practice. If you remember, today is their Wednesday. They play Monday night. He said this morning, expect to see some other names in the transaction wire that came off. We'll get some health updates, perhaps, on a couple of other players like Teron Armstead and Eric McCoy. Were they seen at practice? Were they at practice? All of that, as reporters, will be able to text and tweet what they got to see in the open portion. I want to play this, though, because, again, this is going to be the backdrop of the season. I'm not focusing on it, but it's going to be the backdrop of the season. We had a phone caller earlier, Stephen, said he was unhappy that the announcement of the roster yesterday happened. Zion's name comes out. He doesn't come out. He doesn't come out until everybody is announced. Then he sits on the bench. He was looking for, he wanted to cheer, and they didn't make it. The other thing that was of note of yesterday, again, outside this area, and just now, Vince Carter is on Just In right now with Max Kellerman and on NBA Today, and they're talking about his weight. Vince Carter, number one thing he would recommend for Zion, to drop weight. There was pictures of him in a suit, and there's a joke of that's why it's black and it needs to be baggy to make it look like it's not about his weight and all this other stuff. Here's Doris Burke on ESPN yesterday.
I worry, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, the guy is an electric talent. That smile, the personality with which he plays, right? You had a New Orleans organization, because of everything that had transpired before, hang by a thread with its fan base, not a lot of enthusiasm. Now you get the number one pick, and not only the number one pick, but like a Patrick Ewing-level pick at the one spot where people are really enthused. Listen, he's got to commit to conditioning, to making sure all the things that go into success of a professional athlete. Keyshawn, I don't know how hard it is for a young man at that age to be disciplined in terms of his regimen, and I mean diet, off season, how much he spends on taking care of his body.
So again, that's the backdrop of the start of another Pelican season. As for the game yesterday, I thought Jake Madison looked at it really well. in terms of some of the things that there were some positives. Brandon Ingram had 25 points. Nikhil Alexander-Walker had 23 points. You're not going to see Jonas Valanciunas go 3 of 19 again from the floor. I just don't see that happening. Devontae Graham had a nice opening performance of 18 points for him. Devontae on Jonas?
I mean, it happens, man. It's, you know, it's a long season. Like I said, we done seen JV at practice. JV with Memphis, you know, he's a monster. So, obviously, you know, he's professional. It's not going to transfer. It's not going
to
last long.
I don't think you're going to see that again. Not tomorrow. Not like that, to that level. Devontae overall, though, and the team, what they can do.
Executing. I think we did a pretty good job, you know, especially all the timeouts. Play with a little bit more pace. Coach was telling us. But I feel like, you know, guys had a rhythm, playing well together, sharing the ball, having fun out there. So, you know, we just got to get that last quarter and a half.
Not many points from the bench, just 5 at one point in this game. Brandon Ingram overall on the offensive issues last night.
First, I think in everything we do, we have to have pace. I think we have the youth to have pace in everything that we're doing. Then, of course, after we get stopped from the defense, then we have to run and get these buckets. So some of the stuff we can go over tomorrow is just a sense of urgency in certain points of the game. Just knowing when to take care of the basketball, good body language, and just being confident in everything that we're doing. We know it starts with the defensive end, so we go into tomorrow and get better on the defensive end and here in Chicago.
We'll talk a lot more about that game tomorrow and the matchups and things that maybe Coach Willie Green can do differently. Overall, his message to the team after the loss?
Exactly what you said. We'll show the guys tomorrow on film what we did good, and it's a lot to take from this game that we did well. And then just a few improvement areas that we can continue to play with more faith, more purpose, more pace. I got to try to get our guys in situations where they can do that. And so that's where I kind of take the ownership on that.
All right. So there you go. On to football, because finally the Saints got to the practice field today and we'll have legit, honest to goodness, new fresh stuff from Coach Pate and some players. Just give it a breakdown here as well. We know already. Lutz, Quan Alexander, Davenport, Traquan Smith have come off the IR. We're waiting to see if Michael Thomas, Nick Van Ent, Ken Crawley, and Chris Hansen will be able to come off as well. Nick Underhill earlier this morning tweeted that he expects Van Ent and Crawley to practice. Again, we're waiting tweets and stuff after practice to let you know what reporters saw. As we discussed with Ross Jackson in the 12 o'clock hour. One more game for David Onyemata. 6 games, not 6 weeks. 6 games. So you'll see him next week against Tampa. And in the meantime, Tyron Armstead, Eric McCoy, we'll get an update on them, right? To see. Here's Sean Payton this morning.
We have to see how it goes with, there's a handful of different guys. There's more guys coming off of, the return injured to, you know, today, you know, we'll have a group more we'll announce. So keeping track of it this week is challenging.
One of the things that he did touch on, of course, is Seattle and how it's a tough place to play. Overall, though, the Seahawks, what does he see when he puts on the film?
There's some, we just covered some of the things that we've seen over Pete's whole time since 2010. These guys always have played real good special teams. There's always a commitment to running the football, and then defending the run. You get a few different looks on defense that I would say are fairly new relative to maybe 2 years ago, and yet they still play a fair amount of zone coverage. They force you to come underneath with the football. Those are just a few of the things. They're a big play team offensively with, obviously, two explosive receivers that get down the field, and you see it on tape when you're watching both Metcalf and Lockett.
You heard him use the word explosive. We touched on this yesterday as well. Saints with just 11 explosive plays on the season. It ranks them dead last in the NFL. Baltimore's at the top with, what is it, 38. Just to give you an idea. He was asked about that today, and here's what he had to say.
The good news is, I don't have to bring the report card home to my mom right now. You know, it's like week 5 and we've got a lot of football, and but I hear you. You know, we pay attention to it, and I do think there's a game or two that's played a certain way, and we're different as a team. And I say this all the time. The key thing is to win and to win and to win. And you know, some weeks that might require this is a team that's tough to find explosives against runner pass. I mean, they've been historically a team where the week starts off with, you know, a huge sign that says patience. And you've got to be real good underneath. You got to protect the football. They're going to keep it in front. They're going to force you to make 6, 7, 8, 9 play drives. You know what I mean? That, and so I think it can vary based on the team you're playing. And look, we're kind of used to sitting there. We're used to be sitting there at top five, and I don't think about that as much as are we being efficient and, like, what are the areas that we're not being efficient. I think we're playing good red zone offense and defense right now. And so, you know, what are those specific things, and then what's the game dictate? But you bring up good points.
So there you go. And that's, I think, a very smart way to look at it. And as you heard, I probably wouldn't expect a ton of explosive plays this week. Based off, as he's already saying, it's going to be a team that's going to force you to drive the ball down the field. And he said, I mean, as plain as you can get, this is a game where patience will be a big word that is going to be used a ton as they prepare for the Seahawks. As for those shot plays, though, you have seen them, and they've been there. And he kind of hinted or touched on this morning, look, when you hit some of those, it kind of begets the other ones, right? You start feeling, okay, well, I know we can hit them. These are the ones that can hit. So kind of like shot plays are based on success that can maybe get you some more shot plays, if that makes sense.
Well, look, we've hit a couple different deep balls, and I don't want to just clump them all together. You know, they're obviously down the field. You could start with there's a post element to it. But I think, Mike, I think – there are certain things that when, you know, each week we cover the shot plays that we want to carry into the game, and, you know, what the looks are and, like, how we want to get to them. And I do think the receivers involved have begun to learn, hey, just keep running. It's going to get there. You know, a lot of times early on a receiver will think, I'm going to throttle here, and then all of a sudden it goes over their head. So I think it's a confidence, and then you hit one, and then you hit another, and then pretty soon you expect to hit one each week.
Did you hear what he said there? Drew Brees has mentioned, hey, look, it takes time to build that chemistry. And Drew has also mentioned what I've said. You're asking players to be in roles that they've never been in. They're pretty big roles. Look, Deontay Harris has caught the ball deep. He's improved on his wide receiver game, but he's an all-pro kick returner. I'm not saying that he can't be an all-pro receiver, but you're asking somebody to be the number two receiver. You're asking Marquez Callaway, who's made some great catches, to be a number one receiver on an NFL team, which means you're going up against the number one cornerback on opposing teams. He's never done that before. And it takes time. And it takes a certain skill level. So I thought it was interesting to hear Sean Payton say there, you know, he said we're starting to see the receivers realize and understand. In other words, he's saying it. There's been a growth process, a learning process with some of the receivers for the New Orleans Saints. I don't think it's coincidence Drew keeps bringing it up every time he's asked about the offense. Well, no Thomas, no Traquan Smith. Guys that he trusted, he knew where they were going and just have been in the system. So I thought that was interesting. He touched on it earlier today. Also, of course, look, you know what you're getting involved in. You're going to Seattle. This is a big game for them. Especially without Russell Wilson. You can't lose too many more in that division. Arizona hasn't lost. The Rams have lost once. Here's Coach and what it's like to go play there.
And make no mistake about it, it's still about the people and the passion. You know, it's the same thing that we love here. It's about the people and the passion. Then you take an owner who literally was thinking about building the perfect stadium relative to acoustics that could be the loudest if it was outside, and that's pretty significant, right? I mean, I don't know that I can, I mean, that was something that was thought about. And so, and then lastly, there's none of that really has any bite to it if the team's not a winning franchise. And so then when you have a winning franchise and then you have a passionate fan base, check that box. And then you have a stadium that when it was built, they said we were going to try to make it loud. Then when those three boxes are checked, you probably have a special place.
He added later on in the conference call, you always leave that place with a headache when you get into the locker room. Hey, folks, don't forget now that basketball is back, you can still use that DraftKings app. If you haven't been using it for that, or if you haven't downloaded it yet for football, you can for basketball. Play daily fantasy hoops. It's easy. Pick your lineup of pro basketball players, stay under the salary cap, and rack up points, rebounds, assists, three-pointers, the works. Obviously, a bucket gets you some points as well. So you can score big and get some big cash as well. Plus, with the new customer, you get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes just by putting in the code LaRose. So download the DraftKings app now, put in the code LaRose, and away you go, and you can be okay with it. Safe, secure, reliable, and that's what DraftKings is. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want as well. So you're already watching the games. Why not go ahead and try to make a little money off of it here as well, right? So try it. It's an app. It's on your phone. It's on your iPad. It's on your laptop. However you want to look at it, download the app, and you can make it work. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, is up next. We'll look at some of the bigger games he thinks is coming up this weekend on ESPN New Orleans, your home for Pelicans basketball. This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville. We saw it at the beginning of the season.
On second down, air it out, Deontay Harris. He's got it, touchdown, another for Winston.
And saw it in the final game before the bye.
Winston's going to take another chance. Wide open is his man, it's Harris. He is in! Touchdown!
Explosive plays. The 55-yarder against Green Bay and that 72-yarder in Washington. But not many more have come in between. Explosive plays are defined as rushes of 15 yards or more and receptions of 20 yards or more. The Saints have only 11 all season long, and that's good for dead last in the NFL. Not having your full complement of starters on the offensive line, lacking receiver Michael Thomas, and building that relationship between a new quarterback and head coach Sean Payton could be contributors. Still, it's remarkable when you think the Saints should be 4-1. Oh, at the top of the list, Baltimore, 38 explosive plays. Tampa has 35, the Saints' opponent in 2 weeks. New Orleans is at Seattle on Monday night. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold Report has been brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville.
Napa know-how.
Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, marine, and industrial supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts 5 locations, Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa know-how.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone!
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. We'll hear from Lee Sterling here shortly as we'll go over some of the bigger games over the weekend. As one of the things that we're going to be touching on, obviously, is not only the college but also pro games. And you got one tonight, Broncos and Browns, 7:20, both teams 3-3. Broncos, a one-point favorite. Also, don't forget, you do have Major League Baseball. Braves and Dodgers, 7:08. Is the first pitch over in L.A. Atlanta leads 3-2-1 in that series as they're looking to close out there from that situation. Bring in Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. Sir, how are you today?
I'm not good. I'm great. Going to the Heat opener tonight. Okay. Feel good. Love openers. Love openers. Always, you know, looking, got promise. You bring in a couple new players. Better than getting swept. Maybe get some revenge on the team that took you out 4-0 and two of them were like 30-point blowouts. So the Milwaukee Bucks are my new least favorite team.
Yeah, let me ask you this. I it's interesting you brought up the Heat there. Are you already focused on there because of the Dolphins? Because what is going on? You're there. Are they really going to trade Tua away for Deshaun Watson? Is that really happening?
We got a team still?
There we go. See?
I'm just kidding. I think it's going to happen. Here's
really?
Why.
Okay.
And, you know, as far as character, I'm not for it at all. But I think it's been quiet. You haven't heard anything. You haven't heard anything from these women. I think that, and I'm pretty good at sensing what's going on.
Okay.
I think they're working on a deal, and they're all going to get paid off, probably most of them in the $500,000 to $1 million range, then they all go away.
I will say this, the fact that the NFL hasn't been either vocal or has come out and definitively done something kind of makes you think that, doesn't it, Lee? Because, I mean,
yeah, and he still
they
might
would
get,
know,
you know,
right?
I mean, he could end up getting a half-year penalty, but two desperate franchises. I mean, Houston, right now there's no hope.
Okay.
The Dolphins, this is what's amazing. They went through three drafts. I have to add it all up. They probably had like 12, 13, 14 first and second rounders, and they basically have nothing to show for it. They have a couple guys they drafted, haven't even been dressing out first rounders, not even dressing for games.
Mm-hmm.
How can you whiff like and just picking Tua over what might end up being one of the, you know, we're talking about a kid who he might end up being one of the top two or three quarterbacks in Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
That's a fireable offense right there. I think Chris Greer's gone, the GM, 100% done.
That's what I was going to say. If Flores is gone, a lot of people that are Dolphins fans say it's not him, it's the GM that'll be going.
So I think the GM's gone first. I think Flores has a pretty good chance to last another year. Problem was both of them were in cahoots on most of these picks.
Right.
I mean, even Stephen Ross, who I think is an awful owner. I mean, you can't just write a check. That doesn't make you a good owner. Like, look at Baltimore. The guy, their owner, is there every single day. I mean, you don't hear him getting involved in too many things, but he's, you know, he's running the ship and hiring the right people. And Stephen Ross, I mean, he didn't want Tua. So they overrode him, and I think the two of those guys, I think Flores can coach. I just don't think he's a GM. So they're going to have to hire someone else, and he's going to have to live with who he chooses.
Ooh, so you're telling me the owner didn't want Tua, and they still took him?
Yeah.
That's probably not smart. All right. Sterling, we'll see what happens on the field and what happens before the trade deadline on November 2nd here. In the meantime, we got a game tonight. I spoke with Corey Glore, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, earlier today. I feel for them. I mean, they're 1-5. They got SMU this week, Cincinnati coming in next week. But as far as the Mustangs go, they're 14-point favorite. He said they have one of the most accurate passers in college football. What do you know of the Mustang offense here? And is 14 too little?
So they got some real talent, and you know, just because you don't know these guys doesn't mean that they're good. And you know, they can't blow out everyone. But you watch some of their receivers, and I'm talking about, they have some guys that are going to be next-level guys. And some of these guys you want to look at are number 5, Danny Gray. He was a JC transfer. This guy runs like a high 4.2, low 4.3 40. He's not like he's little. He's 6'1", 180. They have a couple running backs in Stiggers and Bentley who run really hard. They have a tight end. Calcaterra, this kid, played at Oklahoma, 6'4". 250. Reggie Robertson was one of the best receivers in the conference, 2 years now removed from knee surgery. So Tanner Mordecai is really good, and I just think they're too much here for Tulane. I think they run away late and hide. I think they win this game 45-24.
All right, there you go. Alabama and Tennessee. That was an entertaining game last week. Tennessee and Ole Miss, and then Vols fans messed it up there towards the end. Yep. Look, not having that quarterback, and then the I still don't know what he was doing there in the final play. The guy that started, Bama's a 25-point favorite here. Because of the emotion of that game, I think Bama blows this team out.
I agree with you. And here's something else. You know, something that contributed to – now, I don't think they were the better team that day. I mean, they were still in the game somehow. The Ole Miss came up with some great ideas as far as blitz schemes on Tennessee, and they led to five sacks and a bunch of other close ones. But when you look at Tennessee, I think the fans, once that bad call, that strip of the quarterback that should have been a touchdown, once that was called back, it started getting them juiced. I'm not making – what they did was 100% wrong, but I can see how it happened. So the Tennessee team, I don't know if they have anything in the tank left. The Alabama team still just 2 weeks removed from losing. And Nick Saban, wow, how good is he at home? He's won 10 straight games against the spread. And I just think Hendon Hooker is really beaten up. I would say it's probably 30-40% that he goes. If not, Joe Milton is not the answer. We've seen his arm, his decision-making here. Alabama big, 45-10.
All right, this is an interesting game. They're retiring Eli Manning's jersey. The end zones are painted Manning. Everyone kind of seems to think, we spoke with Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers earlier, they think they're rolling out the red carpet to try to keep Arch, not to leave Oxford after this game. They're a 9.5-point favorite on LSU. I know the Tigers put on that performance against Florida. Can they do that again against this team and this offense? That's the question, huh?
I don't think Matt Corral is going to play. I mean, he's listed as doubtful.
You really don't think he's going to play, huh?
Have you ever talked to someone, a quarterback who ran for almost 200 yards in a game?
I have not.
Okay, well, you're talking to one right now. Okay. Ran for 212 yards in a game and threw for about .120. I could barely get out of bed the next day. Okay. So, and he's getting hit by bigger, stronger, and faster kids. Even if he plays, I don't think he's effective, but I don't think he's going to go here. Defensive coordinator, Ole Miss defensive coordinator, DJ Durkin, not going to have to deal with tempo like he had to deal with for Tennessee. I think that Ed Orgeron told his players before the game he was done. I think that's why they played the way that they did. And just feel that this LSU's third road game in 4 weeks, I'm going with a total. I'm going to play... I think this is the right side. Sometimes you got to look at the total. I'm going with under 76. You have to have two teams. What happened last week in the LSU game, all those scores, was crazy. I think this is a dead under. Bet it right now because I think it's going to close about 68.
Mm. Okay. Yep. All right. Carolina and the Giants as we move on over to the NFL. Yep. I read this game when you sent it to me. I'm like, who's watching this game? But why is this an interesting game? Because, man, the Giants – I can't find an ESPN platform that's not calling them a disaster. Carolina started out hot. Their host came on our show. I mean, he's patting himself on the back. The Panthers are on their way. Right. Then they suffered some injuries. What am I watching in this game here?
I think Carolina's going to be a pretty good team. They played a really good team on a given day last week. Minnesota was on fire, and they hung in there. And that says something. So this is a Carolina team. Yeah, they're missing their best running back, but they're going to be facing a team in the Giants that are missing their starting left tackle, that is missing a couple of their best receivers. Barkley, game time decision. I mean, the list goes on. This is a really bad team. So I'm going to hand out an easy winner. Carolina wins this game 23-14.
We'll get to the Saints in Seattle here. Just give me 10 seconds. As a fan. Yeah. I can't wait for Bengals Ravens. I love what I'm seeing out of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and they could have beaten the Packers. The Ravens have won some big games as of late, but they could have been 2-2 going into that game last week. I think this could be a fun game as a fan, huh?
A lot of fun. Here's the only problem for Cincinnati. They really improved on the offensive and defensive lines. They're not there yet, but they're improved, and Joe Burrow, six straight game, 2+ touchdown passes. I think that the Baltimore line play is just so much better. And mm-hmm. what are you going to get? You're pretty good at figuring these things out. So what do you think Cincinnati, how many yards do you think they'll run for in Baltimore?
If they get to 70, I think it's pretty good.
Okay. I figured 78. Yeah. Okay. That's the number between 75 and 80. What do you think Baltimore is going to run for on Cincinnati?
Oh, buck 50. Easy.
Right. Buck 50 to 200.
Yeah.
When you double up your opponent running the football,
good point.
You cover almost 90% of the time. There's the roadmap. And watch what Baltimore does. So, smart coaching staff. They had a cornerback that couldn't cover in space. So they moved him to the short side almost every single down. They had a linebacker, you know, having trouble on third down conversion, so limited his plays, cut back on his plays on third down. So they make really good adjustments between games and also end game at halftime here. I think Baltimore's the right side here. I think they win this game 28-14.
See, and this is why we have Lee on, and this is why you need to give him a call when he gets off the show, because he looks at it from a handful of different ways. Saints and Seahawks, sir. How do you see this one? New Orleans, a 4.5-point favorite right now going into Monday's game.
So I think that Seattle is not great at all. But here's a stat that is crazy. You look at the Seattle coaching staff, and you're like, okay, they've fallen off a little bit, but they are 40-21-2 after a loss under Pete Carroll. Now, all that is pretty much with Russell Wilson, but that's 65.6%. That's the NFL's best over the last 11-plus seasons. And Sean Payton can't really figure out what to do with this offense. He was, I think they're 54.7% ratio running the football to passing. And then 2 weeks ago, he shifts it, 23 runs, 30 passes. I think they were helped a little bit by the Hail Mary right before the half here. I think this is a 3-point game. I have New Orleans winning the game, mm-hmm. something like 27-24, but I'll take the 4.5. I think the line's off a little bit.
And that's if the kicker makes it. So we'll see how that happens on Monday. If I want to get the game of the week, which is Tampa-Chicago, what do I do, Lee?
Really good game here. We're going to find out if Chicago can pull off the upset or does Tampa roll. Got a real strong feeling here. Just call 800-400-9741. And how about this, Gus? We tried this combo pack. Have you heard? You know this is called the Equinox this and next week in mm-hmm. football and in sports? You got football, basketball, playoff baseball, hockey, and even the UFC. All the sports are going on. So a couple years ago, we had a 10-day pass of all five sports, about 75 to 80 selections, 297. Everyone was excited. We had a great run. Everyone started signing up for all the different sports. I'm going to just blow the top off this. 10 days of all five sports, and we're winning in every single sport, just $100, $100 bill. So even if you're with us in one sport, you can try out the other four sports. Even if you're a $20 to $30 bettor, come on board. You're going to probably make your money in one day, next 9 days for your profit. How do you come on board? 10-day all-access combo pack, all five sports, $100, one place, ParamountSports.com.
Easy enough. At Paramount Sports over on Twitter as well. Lee, we'll see you again next Thursday. Thank you, sir, as always, for your time.
All right. Thanks, Gus.
All right. Sounds good. Quick break. We come back. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. CBS Sports Game of the Week at 2:30. Is LSU Ole Miss? You think we'll talk about that? Of course we will. It's the Sports Hangover next on ESPN New Orleans.
Those were the best days of my life. Those were the memories that will never die. If I could only turn back time, I would find you and make you mine.
Imagine it, a first-class resort in Slidell on the lakefront called Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. We're talking up to 250 rooms and St. Tammany's first real convention center, big enough for special events, weddings, or even Mardi Gras balls. Relax at the luxury spa, swimming pools, or drift in the lazy river. And listen to this. An outdoor amphitheater will bring major concerts to Slidell and get used for community events too, like graduations and farmers markets. Eat it
up at 7 different restaurants, from casual to fine dining, even a brand new Slidell Marina. Pull up in your boat and get in on the fun. Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. Together, we make it happen by voting yes. Vote yes, and the North Shore wins. Vote yes, and we all win. Get more information at thenorthshorewinds.com. Paid for by the North Shore Winds.
On August 29th, 2021, Hurricane Ida wreaked havoc on our community, leaving thousands of people feeling helpless, vulnerable, and desperate. We refuse to let insurance companies do the same.
At AMO Trial Lawyers, we have assembled a team of not only attorneys, but also contractors, adjusters, engineers, and estimators with the focus of maximizing your claim value and assisting in your recovery.
If you think your insurance company isn't treating you fairly, get a name that insurance companies know by calling 985-446-3333. I'm Matt Ori.
And I'm David Ardwin.
And we are the AMO Advantage.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply and Home Off. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. We'll get a hold of him momentarily. As I want to play this here, this is from Booger McFarland. He was on the College Football Podcast. And, of course, Booger, an LSU player, had this to say on the Ogeron firing.
This is a classic fall from the top of the mountain. You know, Coach O, you got to give him a lot of credit for hiring Joe Brady. He took a chance on Joe Brady when nobody even knew who Joe Brady was. He hired Dave Aranda as a defensive coordinator, and everyone was like, who? And, you know, him courting Joe Burrow from Ohio State to Baton Rouge, it was the perfect mixture. And you got to give him all that credit because he did that. But once he got to the top of the mountain, Kev, it was almost as if, I'm not going to say he forgot who he was, but he allowed his success to turn him into someone that I don't think he realized he was becoming.
As for what he would like to see next in the LSU head football coach.
The name is irrelevant, but the things that you have to be qualified for this job is really simple. Proven coach who understands how to run a major Power Five program. That's number one. Number two, you got to be able to put a fence around the state of Louisiana, because the reason the last three coaches have won national championship is because you can win just by winning your state. So mm-hmm. You got to be major Power Five coach. You got to be a good recruiter. And more importantly, you got to want the job, because when you want the LSU job, then you want the expectations that come with it. You want the scrutiny that's going to come with it. You want everything that is going to come with that job. So find me a name that fits those three criteria, Kev, and I don't care what his name is. That's what I'm looking for.
All right, that's Booger McFarland. How about we get one of those names herself? From Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. Chip, your game this week is at 2:30, LSU at Ole Miss. We'll get to that matchup, but obviously it's the news this week and especially around here. First off, good afternoon to you, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've been looking forward to this conversation, and I figured that putting together show plans has been a little bit easier this week, huh?
You know, it has been interesting from this aspect of it. I feel like there's two branches of this. You have a side that's like, well, it's about time. We all saw this coming. Why did it take so long? And then on the other side of the street, Chip, it's an emotional attachment, I think, to Coach O with the, hey, it's not fair the coach has left, or it's a new staff, or players have gone, and, you know, look what he did. He's Louisianian. He loves the school. Like, I feel the people that are unhappy with the move, it's more of an emotional attachment, to where the people that are happy with the move, it's more of a, oh my gosh, good riddance sort of thing. I don't know. What's it sort of like from your perspective?
Oh, I take my lead from Ed Ogeron. He's not fighting. You know, like two of the headlines right now, Jeremy Pruitt threatening litigation against Tennessee, Nick Rolovich threatening litigation against Washington State. Very different reasons, but where I'm going with this is Coach O and Scott Woodward sat side by side. I mean, they came out. I mean, and look, I understand Ogeron has 17 million reasons to just go ahead and get ahead of this and move on so that you can be able to cash all this money. But I think that if Coach O was done wrong, I think we would see more fight from him in this situation. And that's why I go to the side of the street, not necessarily where I said what took so long, but at least one that saw that by the end of the season, we were probably going to land here. And I think I told you this, but like we could look down the rest of the schedule and just know that those were not games that LSU was going to be favored to win. You know, five out of the final six games, the Tigers were probably going to be underdogs. And so I understand that you end it as a question, you end it as a talking point in terms of this team. You know, the rest of us dummies move on to start talking about candidates, which to me probably bothers the LSU program as it rests right now and as it prepares for a big game in Oxford against Ole Miss.
Sure.
Like, that is noise that doesn't get to them. Is my coach going to be here next year? And the uncertainty, I think, is noise that gets inside a locker room. So we're going to keep doing the dumb conversation, but I actually think it was a probably pretty savvy move by all parties to be able to just advance this, at least in terms of finalizing Coach O's future with this football program.
I agree. I think some people have speculated that maybe he – you know, dropped it in the locker room before they took to the field, because that's the most inspired that they've played all season long. I mean, which is nuts, because, you know, there's talk of him losing the locker room, yet they played inspired. Look, whatever the thing is, you posted it on October 17th when you joined the folks over there at CBS HQ, and you went through the names and all the different things. I just played Booger there going into it. He says, I don't care about the name, but these are the criteria and things you need to do. Can you put both of those together and realistically look at buyouts and names that you think would go? Is it a better move for them to go or not? And then kind of maybe come up with a list of top three or something.
Yeah, it's James Franklin, it's Mel Tucker, and then I think that we start to play the game of, you know, who might be the good fit, or who might be the coach that would really jump at the opportunity and really thrive. I don't think it's going to be Jimbo Fisher. I don't think it's going to be Dabo Sweeney. And in fact, I was out somewhere with my son. There's this awesome bus in the neighborhood that we like to go see. And, you know, wheels on the bus. Bus right. is just the best. And so we were out playing on the bus. The PTI is on the screen in the background. I'm not listening, but I can see that one of the headlines is Jimbo Fisher and Dabo Sweeney addressing the LSU thing. And it just made me realize that this is the way we do coaching searches at top five jobs. And I think LSU is the top five job, which is we start at the very, very top of the mountain, and we make everyone say no. And while on the day that Coach O was fired, I did not list Jimbo Fisher or Dabo Sweeney as possible candidates, I feel like we are going through that process of them coming out and saying, like, nope, like I'm good. Like, this is not what I'm going to be concerned with. And I believe both those coaches when they say that, at least for now, they are happier at their current positions rather than exploring what's going to be going on elsewhere. So we are working our way down the list from the very, very top, and I think that next in line are when we start to get to those coaches like a Lincoln Riley, like a James Franklin. I mentioned Mel Tucker because that's probably a little bit more of the fit, and he is having an amazing year at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. I think his Rolodex from being a recruiter at Alabama and Georgia all throughout the SEC territory is loaded, and he would be able to show up in some of those recruiting demands that Booger McFarland and others have for the future LSU head coach. Then we start to move to Billy Napier, and I think that Scott Woodward would not even need to finish saying his last name before Billy Napier would hop in a car and drive to Baton Rouge to accept that job. So when we've got a very, very good coach who I think would take the job right there in state, I feel like that's the worst case scenario, and that's not a bad scenario playing it out moving forward. I know a lot of LSU fans would rather have, playing in college, coaching in college football playoffs, coaching at the Power Five level. But if our worst case scenario is Billy Napier is the LSU head coach, that is still a good place to be for the football program. This coaching search is revealing exactly how coveted that job is right now.
It's interesting you said that. Chip Patterson, CBS Sports, and you can give him a follow, of course, over on Twitter at Chip_Patterson. We have Coach Napier on Tuesdays on our show, and I've been saying that for a couple of weeks. And this is even before this. I just, like, look, the guy coaches well. You watch their teams. The whole aspect of culture that he's built in Lafayette, it's literally in their branding. I almost feel like he can just take over to Baton Rouge with pride in terms of, look, you have to look at what's going on campus. The lawsuits, all this other stuff, the last two coaches, and they're off the field. I almost feel like you need that person it's about respectability. Yes, the coaching, the recruiting, of course. That is almost like a given. But I almost feel like something like that, and we spoke with Eric Alexander, who won a national championship with the Tigers. He comes on our show. And he said yesterday, how about we get to a guy that is like a father figure again and cares about these kids? I almost feel like that's been missing as well. And I'm wondering, when you're putting all that together, and when you said that name just now, I just started shaking my head. I'm like, that's why I've been touting him. If, you know, of course, you're Franklin and stuff like that, say no.
Right, and it's such a tough spot as a LSU fan to, like, be sitting in that position, because I'm trying to tell you to eat your vegetables, right? I'm like, Billy Napier will be good for you. Billy Napier is what you need, but it doesn't have as much sugar as some of that candy, right? Like, Billy Napier at LSU is eating your vegetables, and if you end up having to eat your vegetables for dinner, that is a great place. Like, that man is a student of the Nick Saban University of how to coach.
Yep.
He would know exactly how to mobilize the resources. The organization that he has for that Louisiana program is just really, really impressive. And I think that there's a reason why he had to go into this season somewhere in his mind figuring that this would be a potential, if not after 21, maybe in the near future. I don't know, man. It's going to be an interesting, like, mid-November, I think we'll start to get a better sense for, you know, where some of those other coaches are. But I think that the Raging Cajuns head coach would be an awesome option for the Tigers.
Well, there's a reason what Mississippi State, South Carolina, and Auburn SEC schools alone have looked into him. Chip, here we go.
Yeah, the drums, they swing low, and the trumpets, they go.
All right, you know, there is a game that we played on Saturday. It's LSU at Ole Miss, the Lane Train, Eli Manning, the red carpet probably is for Arch Manning. Break down this game, man. I'm kind of excited to kind of look at it too. And can LSU play with the same fire and offense that we saw last week, I guess, is my question.
Well, the good news is Ole Miss's run defense should be right there. You know, like, if Tyrion Davis-Price wants to get out there and run for 200 yards again, of course, nearly 300 against the Gators, I do think that this Ole Miss defense will be there and give that free space for him to be able to go and get it. But I am just so interested. As we're talking right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, we still don't know if Matt Corral is going to play, right?
Right. It's interesting. Yeah. Coach O's come out this week and said he thinks it's gamesmanship.
It might be gamesmanship, but here's what I'll tell you. I think he plays, but it is significant that he had 30 rushing attempts last week, and I do think that he's a little bit banged up. And I think that that impacts the way that Ole Miss calls plays, and I think that impacts the way that Ole Miss handles its business in this game. Could be wrong. It really could be gamesmanship, because it would actually benefit Lane Kiffin to have Matt Corral look like the Heisman Trophy favorite here. And I just think that so much is up in the air based on how Ole Miss carries its business, because I do think the Rebels are going to be able to move the ball on LSU. Mm-hmm. Can LSU hit the explosive plays to play keep up? Yeah, absolutely. But I'm far more along the lines of thinking that this game plays into LSU's favor if it can get some stops, if it can, knowing Matt Corral might be a little bit more one-dimensional, put in a game plan that allows you to have some success against them. I kind of see this one as definitely being an Ole Miss win, but so much uncertainty around the game. And not to mention, what about Lane Kiffin as a potential candidate for LSU?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of layers to this game. I feel like I'm more interested to watch it, seriously, for the theater than I am for anything else. And that's one of the things we love about the SEC, is that there's so much passion, there's so much investment on so many levels that sometimes, I mean, the X's and O's almost don't even matter as much from a fan perspective, because there's a lot going on in this game.
No doubt. Well, tune in, of course, CBS over at 2:30, and I'm sure you'll be a part of that here as well, man. Go give Chip a follow, as always, at Chip_Patterson. Thank you, man. Appreciate the time, as always. We'll talk again next Thursday.
All right. Sounds good. Y'all be well.
All right. Sounds good. Quick break. We'll put a wraps on the show next on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Ashley Barrios and Cutoff, State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. See Ashley today for all of your insurance needs. We saw it at the beginning of the season.
On second down, air it out, Deontay Harris. He's got it, touchdown, another for Winston.
And saw it in the final game before the bye.
Winston's going to take another chance. Wide open is his man, it's Harris, and he is in, touchdown.
Explosive plays, the 55-yarder against Green Bay and that 72-yarder in Washington, but not many more have come in between. Explosive plays are defined as rushes of 15 yards or more and receptions of 20 yards or more. The Saints have only 11 all season long, and that's good for dead last in the NFL. Not having a full complement of starters on the offensive line, lacking receiver Michael Thomas, and building that relationship between a new quarterback and head coach Sean Payton could be contributors. Still, it's remarkable when you think the Saints should be 4-1. Oh, at the top of the list, Baltimore, 38 explosive plays. Tampa has 35, the Saints' opponent, in 2 weeks. New Orleans is at Seattle on Monday night. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold Report has been brought to you by Ashley Barrios and Cutoff, State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. See Ashley today for all of your insurance needs.
State Farm offers surprisingly great rates on auto insurance, but what does that mean? Surprising. This often means something comes out of nowhere, like finding that $20 bill in your dryer. Great? Well, obviously great means superior. Rates? Simply what one pays in exchange for something. And in this case, that something is State Farm being there when you need them most. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios in Cutoff.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Practice squad, or practice field rather, and see if we start to see some names that, you know, we'll see soon enough. Again, David Onyemata, one more week. It's 6 games, not 6 weeks. So we touched on that here as well. So Amy just posted this a couple of seconds ago. Teron Armstead, Eric McCoy were at Saints practice, as were Traquan Smith, Quan Alexander, Marcus Davenport, Nick Vanette, Ken Crawley, Chase Hansen, called him Chris earlier. Not at practice, Taysom Hill, Deontay Harris, Dwayne Washington, Chris Hogan, no Will Lutz, doesn't mean anything, she says, no Michael Thomas. Again, these are just the players that she observed or didn't observe out there on the practice fields. So we'll wait to hear. I think tomorrow it's the assistant coaches. Sean won't say anything. And then on Friday will be the next time, Friday morning, that you'll hear from Sean Payton. But again, it will be interesting to see if you don't have Taysom Hill and Deontay Harris. Again, concussion protocol and things of that nature. I would have thought that Taysom would have been ready by now if that was the injury concern that happened at Washington. It could be through this next Sunday. It could just be, did they want you to see him? I don't know. Deontay Harris, again, a hamstring, it takes a while. It could be 2-3 weeks, right, for that to sort of happen. Maybe the fact that Traquan Smith is back, if Deontay isn't a fully 100% healthy, 70, 80%, do you give him that extra week in order to do that? Again, though, that is just fantastic news to hear. Teron Armstead and Eric McCoy were at practice. I cannot stress enough having Eric McCoy back, how big that is. And especially, obviously, Teron Armstead, when he's healthy, he's one of the best left tackles in the game. So having Armstead, El Matador, Eric McCoy, and now you can move your starting right guard back to his spot. I just think you essentially have your offensive line back, right? So I think it's a very, very, very good sign for that to happen. So we'll definitely talk about that. You'll hear from Jameis Winston and others here as well. So all those guys came back. We'll get a full breakdown and get everything ready for you here as well. Matt Muscoden, after further review, has got you next. We'll talk a lot more about it. It's Friday tomorrow. Can you believe that? We'll do that when we get you at 12 o'clock. Matt, you're up. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.